Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today is the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, and many people would say, huh? What are we celebrating a chair? That doesn't make sense. But the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter actually commemorates the teaching authority of the Vicar of Christ. The chair is the kind of the tangible sign of that authority. The Catechism teaches that it is this magisterium's task to preserve God's people from deviations and defections and to guarantee them the objective possibility of professing the true faith without error, so that the people of God abides in the truth that liberates. That's what the Catechism tells us. And it is the role of the Pope to keep us free by God's grace and by God's power. He can't do it on his own, but his call is to keep us firmly in the truth. How blessed is the Church of Rome, said Tertullian, on which the apostles poured forth all their doctrine along with their blood. The Church represents the Pope's mission as guide of the entire people of God. Celebrating the chair of Peter means attributing a strong spiritual significance to that position and recognizing it as a privileged sign of the love of God. That's what Pope Benedict XVI said. It's awesome, awesome responsibility to preserve us from error. Because you and I know how quickly we can fall to the left or to the right, how quickly that can happen. So today is a day to pray for the Holy Father, to ask that God would give him the wisdom that comes from on high as he meets many challenges these days and challenges that we too face. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that no tempest may disturb us, for you have set us fast on the rock of the Apostle Peter's confession of faith. Peter was the one, all the other apostles, he was the one who could say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the first to acknowledge him and to stand firm. May that grace be upon the church today, and may that grace be there for each of us. The first reading today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Beloved, I exhort the presbyters among you as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ, and one who has a share in the glory to be revealed. Tend the flock in your midst, overseeing not by constraint, but willingly as God would have it, not for shameful profit, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In other words, all of us, especially within the church, those who have positions of authority, don't do it out of constraint and don't do it for shameful profit. Don't lord it over those that you have been given to care for, but be examples to the flock. This is a real call for each of us. First letter of St. Peter, chapter 5, again, verses 1 to 4. I'm saying it again because I want you to look at it, especially those who have any position of any kind of authority in the church. Am I doing what I'm called to do? Am I exercising my authority according to that of Jesus Christ? Am I living out the faith in this position in which I find myself? Am I a conduit to bring other people to him? Am I what I'm called to be? This feast is not one to be passed over, especially for those who have authority. Every one of us from the Pope to the most newly ordained priest, to say nothing of all of the deacons and catechists and teachers that we have within the church. Take your role seriously. Are you leading people to Jesus Christ? Do you focus on him? Focus on him means, do you pray every day, Lord, help me to carry out my ministry today according to your will? Out of the mind that is the very wisdom of the Father, and out of a heart, a shepherd's heart. We need to really look at that, brothers and sisters, because we will be judged. Especially those who exercise authority, we will be judged. Whatever our area is, even if it seems small in the eyes of the world, if our call is to bring people closer to Christ, and no matter what we're doing, secular or religious, that's the call of every disciple, is to bring people closer to Jesus Christ. But I'm speaking now particularly of those who have actual authority within the church. Am I using everything I have to bring people to Christ? Yes, there can be all kinds of programs that can be helpful, but am I, in my humanity, am I preaching the gospel, not just in word, but by my life? Am I pointing the way to Jesus by my life? That's incumbent upon every Christian, but in a particular way, among those who exercise authority in the church. Take heed, brothers and sisters. God does want to give us everything, but we need to yield our lives more and more to him, day in and day out. May you be given the grace to do so. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Do I see the Lord as my shepherd? When I'm in verdant pastures and restful waters, or when I'm in the dark valley and evil is at my side, where am I? Am I following the Lord in good times and bad, in other words, hard times and beautiful times? Am I faithful to the one who is my shepherd, God? I think we really need to take a look at this in simplicity. Don't get complicated by that. I mean, don't get involved in all kinds of programs and ideas. Let's take a look at our own hearts. If I have a responsibility of any kind in the church, of any part of the church, how am I living it out? And as a Catholic, as a Christian in society, how am I living out my call? I have one. I don't just take out my call as a Christian, as a Catholic. I don't take that out just on Sunday mornings. It's 24/7. So in a sense, all of us, whether we have positions of authority or not, really need to take a look at how am I living out my vocation, my call, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But especially those in authority, we really need to look at this and ask ourselves whether I'm following God or not, or whether I'm just making my own little contribution to a job that happens to be in the church, but I conduct it as I would any other secular role. Please take a look at this in your own life. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19, when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, do you see? Look at this. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? So they immediately say, well, some say this and some say that. But Jesus now, he hones in and he says, but you, who do you say that I am? And all kinds of people, well, some say you're this and some say you're that, etc., etc. But Jesus is honing in on this and he says, but who do you say that I am? And who's the one who speaks up? Peter. Uneducated fisherman Peter speaks up and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was absolutely remarkable. He saw this man, he saw his humanity. People were attracted to him. There were disciples following him. But only Peter had the courage to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock," that's what the word Peter means, Petrus, rock, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus gave to Peter what has passed down through the ages. But he called him to speak the truth and to live the truth. And ultimately, it cost Peter his life. How ready are we to stand in defense of the truth? How ready are we to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves? How ready are we to look at Jesus, look at him in the Blessed Sacrament, and say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and mean it? Because once you say that, once you acknowledge, then that calls forth from you a commitment. You can't just say, "Oh yeah, this is Peter, and upon this rock God's going to build his church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." That's all fine for Peter, but that has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. In a particular way, if you're Catholic, but for every Christian, I need to take my discipleship seriously. Don't put the blame, "Oh, well, if the Pope had done this, or if this disciple had done that, or this apostle had done that, then things would be much better." We put the blame elsewhere rather than looking at our own hearts and saying, "God blessed me. He gave me life, and he gave me new life in Christ. I am called as his disciple. I bear the name Christian." As someone once said, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would you be found guilty or not? I think that's very important. Do I truly live out my Christian life? I don't have to flaunt it, but am I known as a disciple? Am I known as one who loves God and loves his word? Am I known as one who is generous and kind and merciful? Do I bring God into the circle of people, perhaps that I inhabit, who don't know him? Does my life, does the way I act, the way I speak, the way I live, does it reflect him or not? May God give all of us, in whatever position we're in, may he give to each of us the grace to be a true disciple. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.